Well, good morning. Scripture reading comes out of Proverbs. Proverbs 9, verses 7 and 8. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insults. Whoever rebukes the wicked incurs abuse. Do not rebuke mockers or they will hate you. Rebuke the wise and they will love you. Proverbs 10:18. Whoever conceals hatred with lying lips and spreads slander is a fool. Proverbs 11:12-13. Whoever derides their neighbor has no sense, but the one who has understanding holds their tongue. A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret. Proverbs 12:23. The prudent keep their knowledge to themselves, but a fool's heart blurts out folly. Proverbs 15:1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Proverbs 15:28. The heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. Proverbs 17:9. Whoever would foster love covers an offense, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. Proverbs 17:14. Starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam. So drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. Proverbs 17:27. The one who has knowledge uses words with restraint, and whoever has understanding is even-tempered. Proverbs 18:2. Fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. Proverbs 18:8. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts. Proverbs 18:13, to answer before listening, that is folly and shame. Proverbs 18:20-21, from the fruit of their mouth a person's stomach is filled. With the harvest of their lips they are satisfied. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Proverbs 20:25, it is a trap to dedicate something rashly and only later to consider one's vows. Proverbs 24:6, an honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. 25:15, through patience a ruler can be persuaded, and a gentle tongue can break a bone. Proverbs 25:20, like one who takes away a garment on a cold day, or like vinegar poured on a wound, is one who sings songs to a heavy heart. Proverbs 26:20, without wood a fire goes out, without a gossip, a quarrel dies down. Proverbs 26:24. Enemies disguise themselves with their lips, but in their hearts they harbor deceit. Proverbs 26:28. A lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Proverbs 27:5. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Loved ones, this is the word of the Lord.
Use this chair this morning. It was good. All right. We're continuing our summer series on the book of Proverbs, and today we're looking at the topic of words, how we communicate. We just read a whole bunch of Proverbs. I'm not going to go through all of them. In fact, I invite you to go back and read them on your own. But words, how we communicate. Don't we need prayer for this topic? So let's pray. And let's ask for God's insight, God's help. Let's pray. Jesus, we pray that you would be near to us in this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for these words. Thank you that you speak to us and you are not silent. So please come and preach good news to our hearts. Make us wise. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. I love you. I hate you. I'm dying. I'm pregnant. You're so ugly. I'm proud of you. Thank you so much. I forgive you. I'll never forgive you. I'm sorry I was wrong. I'm sorry. There's nothing more we can do. Words are powerful. Maybe you've heard personally some of these words and phrases. Words last forever. They really do. And as we begin this morning, it's important to remind ourselves of the power of words. Especially, I think, because we live in a time when we're just flooded by words every day. Through social media and text messages, Slack, at home, at work, in between the spaces, flooded by words, so much so that I think it's easy for us to get careless and sloppy with our words, to begin to believe that they don't really matter. But the truth is, the right words at the right time to the right person, or the wrong words at the wrong time to the wrong person, can change a person's life, can change your life. They really can. We know this. That's what Proverbs 18:21 is getting at. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Words have the power of life. They can feed a person's soul like food. Words have the power of death. They can kill, sentence a person to emotional death. And so if we can just start to grasp the impact and the importance of our words, I think we might start to cry out, I need help. I need to learn how to use words. I need wisdom for our words, my words. The good news is that the book of Proverbs gives us a lot of wisdom for our speech. In fact, among all the different topics that the Proverbs covers, all different areas of life, it actually addresses our words more than any other area of life. Some estimate that more than 90 different Proverbs, words of wisdom, address this topic alone. It's important to God. It should be important also to us. He knows we need some help. And so here we go. In our time here, so many things that could be said, so many things that this book has said about our speech. I'm going to focus on three areas, three ways wisdom shapes our words, three different kinds of wise speech. Let's take a look. Number one, gentle words. Gentle words. Proverbs 15:1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So you know the situation, right? A person marches into a room, marches into your space, and they march in hot. They spew a couple harsh words, maybe uncalled for words. Maybe it's a complaint, even an unfair criticism, and now you have a choice. How are you going to respond? And what's going to happen if you respond with harsh or angry words of your own? Well, you know, most likely things will escalate. Things will escalate. You know that it'll stir up more anger. It'll amplify and even intensify the argument. But sometimes, listen to this word of wisdom from the Lord. But sometimes, take a deep breath. Slip in an unexpected word of non-retaliation, a word of gentleness in an environment of aggression, and you might win a hearing like you never expected. Responding with gentleness diffuses tension and anger. It's hard to do. The more natural thing, of course, is to fight fire with fire. God is showing us a better way, a way that leads to life. Responding with gentleness diffuses tension and anger. And this doesn't mean just being nice or mild-mannered or flimsy or feathery, especially in a moment of crisis or conflict. And it certainly doesn't mean being fearful or passive and then just trying to call that wise living. Listen to how Proverbs 25:15 describes the power of gentleness. Through patience, a ruler can be persuaded, and a gentle tongue can break a bone. Persuading a stubborn king, breaking a bone in order to heal it. How do you do that? A subversively gentle word. A strong and gentle, patient word has surprising power. Some of us maybe have been trying to persuade somebody around us. Maybe if something you're convinced you're right about, maybe you're true. Been trying to change their minds. But the problem is, some of us, the only tool you've got in your toolbox is a hammer or a megaphone. More volume, more force, more airtight logic to argue. After all, that's how you get change, isn't it? I don't know who it is in your life where you might be seeing this struggle or it being in this tussle with your boss, with your child, a spouse, a friend who's in a bad place. But what can it look like for you to believe, based on God's word, based on the wisdom being shared here, what could it look like for you to believe in the wisdom, divine wisdom, that sometimes your words have the most power when you dial it back, when you speak gently and patiently? Gentle words, number one. Number two, self-controlled words. Self-controlled words. Proverbs 12:23, the prudent keep their knowledge to themselves, but a fool's heart blurts out folly. Proverbs 15:23. The heart of the righteous weighs its answers. Proverbs 17:27. The one who has knowledge uses words with restraint, and whoever has understanding is even-tempered. You heard that, right? So the basic idea here is we need to learn to exercise self-control, inner restraint, prudence in our speech. I think it boils down practically to this question: do you think before you speak? Or maybe even a prior question to that: do you know you can think before you speak? The Bible is telling us our words should be few and our words should be carefully chosen because, again, our words are that powerful. This doesn't mean, of course, that there isn't a place for spontaneous words or passionate words or even at times angry words when that is just and right. And it doesn't mean you always need to speak slow-mo all the time. Of course, some of us have different personalities. Some of us have more words to use in a given day. It's just who you are. Some of you have fewer. But listen, if you never find yourself holding back something that you want to say, where you stop yourself in a split second, and where you say to yourself, maybe I shouldn't say that. Or maybe I should save that, yes, but for another time. Then you're probably a rash speaker. If you're never stopping yourself, holding yourself back, then you're probably a rash speaker. Or in the words of the book of Proverbs, a foolish speaker. Someone who's always blurting out whatever you think or feel. And the book of Proverbs teaches us about different kinds of foolish speakers. There are many, but let's talk about two briefly. There's the bad listener. Proverbs 18:2, fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. Welcome to Washington, D.C., right? Delight in airing their own opinions. Proverbs 18:13, to answer before listening, that is folly and shame. In the New Testament, James 1:19 picks up on this idea. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak. Friends, do you practice listening? Do you know it takes practice? Because it's not natural. There is a skill to it, right? Have you heard of active listening? It's actually a skill to build up, something to develop. You know, where you go into a hangout time or a meeting, and before you step in, you tell yourself, you know what, today I'm going to especially devote myself to better listening. In this meeting, I'm going to actually say less than I normally say and see how I actually might benefit, and the whole group benefits from that. Listening is hard. One reason is because listening requires humility, doesn't it? Because you need to think more highly of someone else's thoughts and feelings in a given moment than your own in order to listen. That's why proud people generally don't. We need the grace of Jesus to listen well. Are you someone who's always interrupting people? Right? So filled with your own next thought that you're not even able to listen to your counterpart's next thought. And that's not only obnoxious and disrespectful, of course, kids, even we know that. But the Proverbs is inviting us to realize that if you are constantly interrupting people, do you know that you might have just robbed yourselves of hearing the very words that you might have needed to hear? You might have actually robbed yourself of the way God wanted to speak to you through that other person. Stop interrupting God. Bad listener. Here's another foolish speaker, the razor-tongued person. The razor-tongued person. Proverbs 12:18. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. I think we need to just let that word picture, that image, come alive and just hit us a little bit as we read it. The word of the reckless pierced like swords. And so you can just picture this knife or razor blades coming out of your mouth. and just hitting the face or the heart, the souls of the people that you're speaking to as you speak unkind or rash or unfiltered, unchecked words, just pummeling them, cutting them, causing them to bleed. Do you see how the Bible invites us to use that image to bring about conviction? Reckless words that cut. Listen, words don't have to be intentionally evil in order to be deadly. All they need to be is reckless, careless, lacking self-control. But don't be discouraged. The reverse is true as well. By God's grace, the tongue of the wise, thoughtful, kind, gracious, refreshing words of the wise can bring healing too. Words, if you could bring about this picture to your mind, that sort of bring calm and refreshment and medicine to wounded souls, food to those that are hungry in their hearts, for encouragement, for affirmation, for kindness. Here's the bottom line, friends. Do you control your words, or do your words control you? Self-controlled words. Thirdly, truthful words. Let's look at truthful words. Proverbs 24, 26. An honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. What's this getting at? It's talking about telling people the truth. And so we talked about gentle words and self-controlled words, and you might even get the impression that all that Proverbs has to say is something along the lines of holding back words or tempering our words. Well, here's one on the other side of the ledger. How do we bring truthful words? This expression, kiss on the lips, is not about romance. I heard an ew over here. It's not about romance. Actually, in the ancient world, a kiss, you might know, was a gesture not only of warm affection, but also of mutual respect. In other words, what the Proverbs is saying is telling the truth, speaking to someone honestly and forthrightly, sometimes is the best way to show that person care and respect. To honor the image of God in them by telling them what they actually need to hear. You say, how so? How is truth-telling respect? Because you're showing that you believe they can handle it. That they have the right to know the truth, right? If you're correcting them on something, if they're making a mistake, it might be hard for you to correct or to tell them or to give them advice, but you do it anyway. Well, you're showing that they have a right to know the truth. They have the ability to choose how they're going to respond for themselves. But how rare is this? We don't think of it as disrespecting people, but we do often get afraid. And so we act like we're taking care of people by lying to them or by withholding honest feedback to them, or we just start to butter them up and flatter them, dance around the truth. And Proverbs is telling us what we're doing in that is actually dishonoring the image of God in them, because we're showing that we don't think that they're strong enough to take the truth. And what happens over time, we know this, before you know it, avoiding hard conversations becomes just a way of life, a habit. And this, of course, then corrodes and destroys our relationships. One day you realize that all along you've been interacting behind masks and not really as real people telling the truth to each other, even your closest friends. But the grace of God frees us from that masquerade, right? Gives us the wisdom and the courage to love each other as we really are, deeply flawed, but deeply accepted and loved. And isn't that the kind of relationships we all actually crave? Relationships where we tell the truth in love. Of course, that doesn't mean it's easy to do that, to know how to challenge people with tough love. Who wants to do that? It'd be a lot easier if we didn't have to. You know, when do you do it? How do you do it? When do you keep silent? Listen to Proverbs 9, 7, and 8. Offers us some help here. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insults. Whoever rebukes the wicked incurs abuse. Do not rebuke mockers or they will hate you. Rebuke the wise and they will love you. Wait. Is that even helpful? I mean, it sounds like we're being told, don't do it. If you rebuke and correct, you might get people hating you. You're just going to get eaten alive. People are going to respond angrily. Well, what this proverb is doing is it's helping us to manage expectations. Because if you're going to, even with all the best of intentions and love, if you are going to challenge a person on some poor choice they're making or some mess of life that they're making, don't be surprised if they don't take it well. That's what that's saying. You rebuke somebody, they will sometimes get upset with you. Don't be surprised if they don't take it well. Here's another thing that Proverbs 9 is telling us. People actually have to be ready to listen to a word of loving correction or rebuke. So just because you're ready doesn't mean they're ready. Just because your intentions are good doesn't mean they're going to receive it good. There's an issue of timing here. And sometimes the Bible is telling us it's pointless in a given moment to try to argue or persuade someone who in that moment doesn't want to listen at all. You can just harm yourself even, banging yourself against the wall, trying to change somebody's mind if they themselves don't want to change. Of course, it doesn't mean that you give up. It just means it might not be the right time. Or maybe you might not be the right person. It takes wisdom. That's why we need this. It takes wisdom to speak truth-telling words. Self-controlled words, truthful words. And friends, as we go down this list, I'll be the first to say with you, it can sometimes feel like too much. It can feel like this impossible calling to speak the right words. It might feel like the invitation is to be perfect with all your words. Maybe you've been saying, I ain't gonna say nothing no more. Silence, right? I'm not even gonna try making a mess, right? So how do we do this? How do we dare to grow in wisdom with our words? How do we keep on using words but use them more wisely? Let me close with a few thoughts here. First of all, we're told here that you gotta love your words. We open with Proverbs 18:21. Let me say it again. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Those who love it, love your words. Meaning, care deeply about them. Carefully steward your words. It doesn't mean get paranoid. Doesn't mean second guess yourself all the time, but it does mean that we start to take account of how we're using one of the most powerful gifts that God has given to us in our relationships, our words. Those who do this, we're told, will begin to enjoy the tongue's power to give life. See, this is good news. If we take the time by God's grace, we can actually grow in our words. You can get better at this. You can bear more fruit. We can become wiser in our communication. First of all, learn to love your words, care about them. But secondly, hear his words. Hear his words. See, changing our own words from foolish words to wise words, it's not just a matter of willpower or beating yourself up when you misuse words or zipping up our lips. What's the key? We need to look where Jesus tells us to look, which he tells us in Luke chapter 6, where Jesus reminds us that it's out of the overflow of our hearts that our mouths speak. Do you know you never utter with your mouths words that aren't already in your hearts? That's convicting. You don't ever speak words that weren't already dwelling in your hearts. Sour words, venomous words, argumentative, impatient, harsh words, where do they come from? A bad day? A bad roommate? Jesus says those words, those swords, come from one place, right in here. But the opposite is true too. Gracious words, forgiving words, gentle words, truthful words, loving words. Where do they come from? Right in here. But from a changed heart. From a heart that's been touched by the grace of God. From a heart that has heard and that continually hears the loving words of Jesus. Friends, the most important question of the day is this. What words do your hearts hear the most? If we could print out a transcript of all the words that bounce around in your minds and your hearts all week, what would we find in that printout? What words are you hearing in your soul the most? Because here's the thing. If we want to speak life-giving words, we need to be hearing on repeat the life-giving words of God. It's the only way. A changed heart, changed words. The life-giving words of God, and he does speak them to us, doesn't he? Have you heard God's words on repeat in your heart lately? Have you heard him say, I forgive your wickedness and remember your sins no more? Have you heard him say, well done, good and faithful servant? Have you heard him say, come, all you who are weak and weary, and I will give you rest? Have you heard him say, so do not fear, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Have you heard him say, do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Have you heard him say, I love you? Who's a God who speaks like that? Who's a Savior like that? Do you know that Jesus took the judgment already for every foolish word that you've spoken. Every sword that's come out of your mouth, he's taken it and spun it back on himself. Letting the sword pierce his own soul as he bore the judgment of hell on the cross for you and for me. For our rash words, our lying words, our ungentle words, our selfish words. Friends, Jesus took what we deserved and then he gave you and me what we don't deserve. Words of blessing, words of grace that fill our hearts and then change us, that melt us, that resurrect us, and where you start to say, my goodness, I've been changed, and I want to speak like that. I want to speak like him. So what have you heard your God say to you lately? Let his words change your words. And let's together as individuals, as a community, oh friends, as a neighborhood and as a city, learn to speak more wisely. Let's pray. Thank you for speaking to us words of grace, words of resurrection life, words of love. Help us to hear you all over again. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, change our words and make us agents of life ourselves. Holy Spirit, be our ghostwriter. Be our mouthpiece. Speak through us. Bear fruit. Make us more like you, Jesus. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.